Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today we bring you a gripping tale titled, The Charmer. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. Chapter 1, The Gift and the Gamble. Elliot Grayson sat alone in the corner booth of the cafe, his hands cradling a steaming cup of black coffee. His eyes, sharp and calculating, flitted from one patron to another. He wasn't here for the coffee or even the croissant he had ordered but left untouched. This was his ritual, a practice ground for sharpening his unique gift. The waitress who had taken his order smiled every time she passed his table, though Elliot hadn't said a single word to her. He didn't need to. A lingering gaze, a slight tilt of his head, the subtlest lift of his lips, small gestures that carried monumental weight when combined with the faint energy he projected. The art of influence wasn't in loud proclamations or overt gestures. It was in the whispers, the invisible strings that pulled people toward him without their knowledge. And Elliot was a master puppeteer. He picked up his phone, scanning the message he had received that morning. "You're hired. We'll pay double if you guarantee the verdict. Meet us at the Atlas Hotel, Suite 210. Noon." The client was a law firm notorious for representing people who, by all moral accounts, should have been locked away for life. This time, their client was Anthony Marshall, a millionaire accused of brutally murdering a young woman in his penthouse. The evidence against him was staggering. DNA at the scene, surveillance footage, even a motive tied to the victim threatening to expose his illegal dealings. But none of that mattered now. The law didn't need truth, it needed doubt. And doubt was Elliot's specialty. The Atlas Hotel was as lavish as expected. Gold accents adorned the high ceilings, and the smell of wealth and entitlement clung to the air. Elliot adjusted his tie before stepping into the elevator, his reflection in the mirrored walls staring back at him. His suit was impeccable, his appearance disarming. A face you'd instinctively trust, a demeanor that radiated competence. Suite 210 was guarded by a tall man in an ill-fitting suit. A nod from Elliot was all it took for the guard to step aside and open the door. Inside, the room buzzed with low voices. Three men in expensive suits and one woman sat at a table, their eyes snapping to him as he entered. "You're Elliot," said the man at the head of the table, his voice gruff and impatient. He didn't rise to shake hands. "You come highly recommended. And I deliver," Elliot replied smoothly, sliding into an empty chair. "Let's get to it. Tell me about the jury." The woman, a legal strategist named Lydia Kane, leaned forward, her tablet glowing in the dim light. 12 jurors. We've profiled them extensively. 6 women, 6 men. Ages range from mid-20s to late 60s. Most have no direct ties to law enforcement, but 2 have strong moral inclinations. Moral inclinations? Elliot interrupted, raising an eyebrow. "Interesting. That means they're the easiest to manipulate." Lydia blinked, startled. "Easiest?" "Morality," Elliot explained, leaning back in his chair, "is just another leash. Convince someone their moral stance aligns with your argument, and they'll fight harder for your cause than you could ever ask them to. Show me their profiles." Lydia handed him the tablet and Elliot scanned through the juror profiles. His eyes landed on juror number 7, a retired schoolteacher in her 60s. Beneath her photo was a note: "Devout churchgoer, values family above all else." "She's your key," Elliot said, sliding the tablet back. "She'll influence the others. All I need is 3 minutes with her after the first day of deliberation. The rest will fall into place." The man at the head of the table frowned. "You can't just talk to a juror." Elliot smirked. "I don't need to talk. I only need proximity." By the second day of the trial, Elliot was a silent presence in the courtroom. He sat in the back row, his eyes occasionally meeting those of juror number 7. She glanced at him twice, then 3 times. By the fourth, she smiled faintly, a gesture of politeness, but Elliot knew better. It was the beginning of trust. He observed the witnesses, the attorneys, and the jury with meticulous precision, noting every shift in body language, every flicker of doubt or conviction. During the lunch recess, he positioned himself at the same cafe juror number 7 frequented. As she walked past his table, he looked up, catching her eye again. "Excuse me," he said, his voice warm and gentle. I think you dropped this. He held up a handkerchief, his handkerchief which he had subtly placed near her as she approached. The woman looked confused at first but then smiled, taking it from him. Thank you, she said, her voice kind. Of course, Elliot replied, the conversation ending there. He didn't need more. The seed was planted. By the time deliberations began, the jury room was a battlefield of opinions. Juror number 7, true to Elliot's prediction, became the voice of reason. She dismissed the surveillance footage as grainy and inconclusive and the DNA evidence as easily contaminated. Her arguments weren't logical. They were emotional, built on the foundations Elliot had laid during his brief interactions with her. The others, swayed by her conviction, began to echo her doubts. 2 weeks later, the verdict came in. Anthony Marshall was acquitted. The courtroom erupted in chaos, gasps, shouts, and tears filling the air. Elliot, seated in the back, allowed himself a small, satisfied smile. But as he exited the courthouse, a figure stepped out of the shadows. Vivian Stroud. Her eyes burned with an intensity that froze him mid-step. You think you've won, she said quietly, her voice steady but seething with anger. You'll pay for what you've done. Elliot didn't respond. He didn't need to. He simply walked away, but her words lingered like a warning bell in the back of his mind. For the first time, Elliot felt a twinge of unease. And for a man like him, that was a rare and dangerous thing. Chapter 2, The Courtroom Puppet Master. The courthouse loomed like an imposing monolith, its austere columns reflecting the somber gravity of the day. Inside, the courtroom was a tense theater of human drama, the air heavy with anticipation and dread. Elliot Grayson sat in the gallery, calm and composed, like a puppeteer watching his marionettes prepare for a grand performance. Anthony Marshall, the defendant, exuded quiet arrogance. A wealthy businessman with a reputation for ruthlessness, he stood accused of orchestrating the murder of his business partner. The evidence against him was damning: emails, financial records, and a witness who claimed to have overheard incriminating conversations. Yet with Elliot on his side, Anthony's confidence was unshaken. The first threats. Elliot's role was unofficial but critical. As a consultant to Anthony's legal team, he was not bound by the strict rules of courtroom decorum. His weapon was subtler than any legal argument: emotional influence. His task was simple in theory but complex in execution. Bend the emotions of the jury not with lies but with truths reimagined. Elliot had spent weeks studying the jurors, identifying their fears, biases, and desires. Juror number 4, a middle-aged man with a disdain for authority, was prone to rebellion against the prosecution's meticulous presentation. Juror number 7, a young woman with a background in psychology, prided herself on her ability to read people but was vulnerable to appeals to intellect over instinct. Juror number 10, an elderly widow, wore her grief openly and sought reassurance in moral absolutes. The opening salvo. As the prosecutor delivered his opening statement, Elliot sat with an air of detachment, observing the subtle shifts in the jury's demeanor. He noticed juror number 4 shifting in his seat, arms crossed defensively. Juror number 7 leaned forward, analytical but skeptical. Juror number 10 clutched her purse, her lips pressed into a thin line. When the defense attorney, Simon Drake, began his opening argument, Elliot's influence became palpable. Before the trial, Elliot had coached Simon to project humility and warmth, traits that Simon struggled with but executed flawlessly under Elliot's guidance. The jurors softened, their body language opening up, signaling a willingness to listen. Elliot had also planted subtle cues in the courtroom itself. The defense table was arranged to look slightly disheveled, humanizing Anthony in contrast to the prosecution's rigid order. A family photo frame sat prominently on the table, portraying Anthony as a loving father, a subtle reminder of his humanity. Twisting perception. The witness testimony was the first battlefield. The prosecution called an accountant to testify about financial records linking Anthony to the crime. The accountant was precise and methodical, but Elliot knew how to undermine her credibility without uttering a word. During her testimony, Elliot subtly shifted in his seat, catching juror number 7's eye with a thoughtful expression. He tapped his pen once as if considering a flaw in her argument. The effect was subliminal but effective. Juror number 7's brow furrowed in quiet skepticism. For juror number 10, Elliot employed a different tactic. During a particularly technical explanation, he glanced at her with a faint look of empathy, silently conveying, "This is overwhelming, isn't it?" Her shoulders relaxed and she looked away from the witness, disengaging. The turning point. The prosecution's star witness, a former employee of Anthony's, took the stand. His testimony was emotional, recounting overheard threats and suspicious meetings. Elliot recognized the danger in his sincerity. Raw emotion was harder to counter than cold facts. As the witness recounted a specific threat, Elliot initiated his most daring maneuver yet. He leaned back slightly, folded his arms, and smiled, a subtle but deliberate action that caught juror number 4's attention. The juror's lips curled into a faint smirk, mirroring Elliot's. By silently mocking the witness's credibility, Elliot planted the seed of doubt without ever speaking. The defense attorney capitalized on this doubt during cross-examination, using Elliot's cues to frame the witness as a disgruntled former employee with an axe to grind. The jury's sympathy shifted, their earlier compassion diluted by suspicion. Seeds of doubt. By the end of the day, Elliot's influence was undeniable. Juror number 4 had fully adopted an air of defiance, questioning everything the prosecution presented. Juror number 7 now seemed to overanalyze every detail, sometimes doubting her own instincts. Juror number 10, once firmly aligned with the prosecution, appeared weary and uncertain, her moral resolve eroded. Elliot walked out of the courthouse that evening, a faint smile playing on his lips. The strings were tightening and the marionettes were dancing to his tune. Yet as he stepped into the cold night air, a flicker of unease crossed his mind. Manipulation was an art, but it was also a weapon that could backfire. For now, though, he was the master of the courtroom, a puppet master with a gift that no one could see but everyone could feel. The trial was far from over, but Elliot was confident. The jury's hearts were his to command, and the verdict, he believed, was already written in his favor. Chapter 3: The Acquittal and the Fallout. The courtroom was silent, the kind of oppressive quiet that weighed down on everyone present. 12 jurors sat in their box, their expressions a blend of fatigue and resignation. The judge, a stern woman with sharp eyes, asked the foreperson the question that would change everything. "Has the jury reached a verdict?" The foreperson, a balding man with nervous hands, stood and cleared his throat. "We have, Your Honor." Elliot sat motionless, his gaze fixed on the jury. He had done everything within his power to shape the outcome, but even he couldn't entirely predict how the moment would play out. Anthony Marshall sat beside his legal team, appearing composed, though his clenched fists betrayed his tension. Across the aisle, Vivian Stroud leaned forward, her face a mask of barely contained grief and anger. The foreperson spoke the words Elliot had worked tirelessly to hear. "We find the defendant, Anthony Marshall, not guilty." The courtroom erupts. The moment the words left the foreperson's mouth, the room exploded. Gasps of disbelief filled the air, quickly followed by angry murmurs. Vivian shot to her feet, her voice breaking as she cried out, "No. He killed my brother and you're letting him walk free." Her outburst was met with the judge's gavel pounding for order. Elliot glanced at Vivian but quickly looked away. Her anguish was a sharp contrast to his composed exterior. For a fleeting moment, he felt a pang of something he couldn't quite name. Guilt, perhaps, or doubt about the morality of his actions. Anthony leaned over to Elliot and whispered, "You're worth every cent, Grayson." Elliot forced a tight smile, ignoring the bile rising in his throat. The judge ordered the court to settle, her voice cutting through the chaos. "One more outburst and I will clear this courtroom." A dangerous victory. Outside the courthouse, reporters swarmed like vultures. Microphones and cameras were thrust into Anthony's face as he stepped onto the courthouse steps, flanked by his legal team. He played his role perfectly, issuing a statement of gratitude to the jury and proclaiming his innocence. Elliot lingered in the background, unnoticed by the press. He preferred it that way. His work was done and he had no desire to bask in the spotlight. Instead, he watched Vivian from a distance. She stood apart from the crowd, her tear-streaked face twisted with rage as she glared at Anthony. She caught Elliot's eye, and in that instant he knew this wasn't over. Vivian's resolve. Vivian returned home to the apartment she had shared with her brother, the silence of the place deafening. Every corner of the room reminded her of him. His favorite chair, the books he had left scattered on the coffee table, the framed photo of the two of them from happier times. She poured herself a drink and sat at the dining table, her mind racing. The justice system had failed her, but she wouldn't let Anthony walk away unpunished. She had seen the man sitting in the gallery, the one whose demeanor was too calculated to be a casual observer. She didn't know who Elliot Grayson was yet, but she intended to find out. Vivian pulled out her laptop and began her search. It didn't take long to uncover Elliot's reputation. He wasn't a household name, but in certain circles he was known as a man who could bend the truth and twist perceptions with a skill unmatched by anyone else. "He thinks he's untouchable," Vivian muttered to herself. "But everyone has a weakness. Elliot's unease." Elliot returned to his penthouse apartment overlooking the city. He poured himself a glass of wine and sat by the window, staring at the skyline. The victory should have felt sweeter, but it didn't. Instead, it left a bitter taste in his mouth. Anthony Marshall's gratitude didn't sit well with him. Elliot knew the man was guilty. The evidence had been overwhelming. But guilt or innocence had never been his concern. His job was to manipulate, to influence, to control. And he had done it flawlessly, again. He turned on the news, where Anthony's face filled the screen. The anchor recounted the details of the trial and the public outrage over the verdict. The victim's family was already calling for an appeal, but Elliot knew that was unlikely to go anywhere. The system had played its part and he had ensured Anthony walked free. But the image of Vivian Stroud's face wouldn't leave his mind. Her pain was raw, her determination palpable. Elliot had seen that look before and it always meant trouble. The first retaliation. 3 nights later, Elliot received an unexpected visitor. He was sitting at his desk reviewing notes for his next case when the doorbell rang. He frowned. He rarely had visitors, especially unannounced ones. Opening the door, he found an envelope lying on the floor of his hallway. No one was in sight. He picked it up and opened it, finding a single sheet of paper with a photograph of Anthony Marshall. The photo was marked with a red X over his face. Beneath it, in bold, was the message: "Justice finds everyone." Elliot's pulse quickened. He stepped into the hallway, scanning the shadows, but whoever had delivered the message was long gone. Closing the door, he locked it and returned to his desk, setting the note down. Someone was watching. And for the first time in a long while, Elliot felt vulnerable. Vivian's first move. Vivian watched Elliot's building from a parked car down the street, her hands gripping the steering wheel. She didn't know much about him yet, but she knew enough to believe he had played a critical role in Anthony's acquittal. She had sent the note to make her intentions clear. Elliot Grayson had made a mistake when he helped Anthony. And now she would make him pay for it. "This is only the beginning," she murmured, starting the car. As she drove away, she smiled grimly. Manipulation was an art, and she was ready to learn from the master. But Elliot didn't know she was a quick study. The lines were drawn. The game had begun. And for the first time in his life, Elliot Grayson wasn't sure if he was the one holding the strings, or if he was about to become the puppet. Chapter 4. Shadows of Revenge. The sharp winter wind howled through the city streets, carrying with it the promise of storms yet to come. Elliot Grayson stood by the floor-to-ceiling windows of his penthouse, staring out at the shimmering skyline. Yet, the usual satisfaction he found in his view was absent. The photograph with the ominous red X still sat on his desk, untouched since the night it arrived. He turned away, his thoughts churning. Whoever had sent that note wasn't just making empty threats. It was a calculated move designed to unsettle him, and it was working. Elliot had built his life on control, on knowing the psychological terrain of every room he entered. Now, for the first time, the ground beneath his feet felt unsteady. Vivian's hunt. Vivian Stroud was relentless. Over the past week, she had immersed herself in the world of Elliot Grayson, piecing together his history from whispers and shadows. What she found only fueled her rage. Elliot was a ghost. A man who moved through the legal world without leaving fingerprints. Officially, he was a consultant, but in reality, he was a manipulator for hire, shaping outcomes in ways that defied the rules of justice. Her brother Kyle had always believed in the system. He had trusted that truth would prevail, that people like Anthony Marshall would face the consequences of their actions. But the system had failed Kyle, and Vivian was determined not to. She had tracked Elliot to his penthouse and begun observing him. She noted his routines, his habits, and his vulnerabilities. But what struck her most was his isolation. Elliot had no close friends, no family to speak of, and his interactions were transactional at best. He was a man who thrived on control, and Vivian intended to take that from him. The first cut. Elliot's unease turned to alarm when he arrived at his favorite cafe one morning to find his usual table occupied. A seemingly trivial inconvenience, but the waiter's explanation sent a chill down his spine. "A woman said she reserved it for you, sir," the waiter explained. "She insisted you'd be here." Elliot sat at a different table, scanning the room. He didn't like being watched, and the idea that someone knew his routine so well made his skin crawl. He opened his laptop and found an email waiting for him, sent from an untraceable account. Subject: "The truth always finds you. Body, how does it feel to lose control?" Elliot closed the laptop, his jaw tightening. Someone was playing games, and he hated not knowing the rules. Anthony's recklessness. Meanwhile, Anthony Marshall was proving to be more trouble than he was worth. Freed from the specter of conviction, he had wasted no time diving back into his old ways. A week after the trial, he had been spotted at an exclusive nightclub, surrounded by people with questionable reputations. The media was starting to circle, sensing a scandal that could reignite public outrage over his acquittal. Elliot tried to distance himself, but Anthony wouldn't let him. Late one night, Anthony called, his voice slurred from alcohol. "Grayson," he drawled, "you're my lucky charm, you know that? They'll never touch me again. We should celebrate." Elliot pinched the bridge of his nose, suppressing his irritation. "Stay out of the spotlight, Anthony. You're tempting fate." Anthony laughed. "Fate? I make my own thanks to you." As the call ended, Elliot felt a surge of anger. Anthony's arrogance was a liability, and liabilities were dangerous. Vivian strikes. Vivian's first real move was subtle but devastating. She anonymously leaked information about Anthony's nightclub escapades to the press, framing it as a tip from a concerned citizen. The resulting media frenzy was immediate and brutal. Headlines screamed about that untouchable murderer, and talk shows dissected every detail of his public life. Protesters gathered outside Anthony's mansion, demanding justice. Anthony, furious and paranoid, called Elliot for help. "They're coming after me again," he shouted. "Fix this, Grayson." Elliot's patience snapped. "I warned you to keep a low profile. You brought this on yourself." But as Elliot ended the call, he couldn't shake the feeling that the chaos wasn't random. Someone was orchestrating it, and that someone had to be Vivian. A meeting in the shadows. Later that night, Elliot received an invitation he couldn't ignore. A handwritten note slipped under his door read, "Meet me at the corner of Ash and Vine. Midnight. No tricks." Elliot considered ignoring it, but his curiosity won out. He arrived at the appointed place to find Vivian waiting, her arms crossed and her expression hard as steel. "So," she said, stepping out of the shadows, "you're the one who let my brother's murderer walk free." Elliot kept his face neutral. "And you're the one who's been trying to get my attention. Congratulations, you have it." Vivian stepped closer, her voice low and sharp. "You think you're so clever, don't you? Manipulating juries, twisting justice to suit your needs. But you've made a mistake. You underestimated how far I'm willing to go." Elliot smirked, though the tension in his chest betrayed him. "You're angry. I understand that. But don't let your emotions cloud your judgment. This game you're playing? It's dangerous." Vivian's eyes burned with defiance. "You're right. It is dangerous, for you. You're not the only one who can pull strings, Elliot. I've already started unraveling yours." She turned and walked away, leaving Elliot standing in the cold. Her parting words echoed in his mind. "You're not the only one who can pull strings. The unraveling begins." In the days that followed, Elliot felt the walls closing in. Anonymous emails and cryptic notes arrived almost daily, each one more unsettling than the last. His clients started canceling meetings, spooked by the growing media attention surrounding Anthony Marshall. Even worse, Elliot found himself second-guessing his own instincts. Vivian's presence in his life was a shadow he couldn't shake, a constant reminder that he was no longer in control. For the first time in his life, Elliot wasn't the hunter, he was the prey. And he hated it. As the shadows of revenge deepened, Elliot realized he was no longer the only master of manipulation. Vivian was learning quickly, and she was playing for keeps. Chapter 5: The Puppet and the Strings. The world Elliot Grayson had meticulously built was unraveling thread by thread, and the person tugging at those threads was Vivian Stroud. Her relentless pursuit of justice was no longer just an act of defiance. It was a calculated campaign, one that mirrored the very techniques Elliot had mastered over years of manipulation. But this wasn't a simple game of cat and mouse. It was more like chess, and Vivian was proving to be a formidable opponent. The tipping point. Anthony Marshall's arrogance continued to make him a magnet for trouble. His nightly escapades and dismissive attitude toward public outrage painted a picture of a man who believed himself invincible. Vivian had weaponized this. Through anonymous tips and strategic leaks, she ensured the media spotlight stayed fixed on him, highlighting every reckless move he made. Elliot, however, bore the brunt of Anthony's panic. The phone calls came at all hours, each one more frantic than the last. "They're everywhere," Anthony shouted during one call. "Journalists are digging into everything. My businesses, my personal life, even my family." Elliot's patience was wearing thin. "Then stay quiet and let it blow over. You're giving them ammunition every time you step outside." "You think I don't know that?" Anthony hissed. "Fix it, Grayson. That's what I pay you for." Elliot hung up, rubbing his temples. Anthony was a liability he could no longer afford, but cutting ties wasn't an option. Not yet. Vivian's new target. Vivian knew Anthony wasn't the real challenge. He was impulsive, predictable. Elliot was the mastermind, the one who had orchestrated her brother's murderer's acquittal. To truly dismantle the empire of manipulation Elliot had built, she needed to go deeper. Her first step was to sow doubt among Elliot's clients. Vivian had spent weeks researching the people who relied on his services. She uncovered their secrets, their scandals, and their fears. With surgical precision, she began reaching out anonymously, planting seeds of mistrust. One by one, Elliot's clients began pulling away. Meetings were postponed, contracts canceled, and referrals dried up. The carefully curated network Elliot had spent years building was crumbling, and he didn't even know who was behind it. The price of control. Elliot's life revolved around control. Controlling outcomes, emotions, and perceptions. Losing that control was an unfamiliar and deeply unsettling experience. For the first time, he found himself reacting instead of orchestrating. He began reaching out to his dwindling circle of allies, searching for answers. Simon Drake, his former friend and now a prominent defense attorney, was the only one who took his call. "Simon," Elliot began, his voice uncharacteristically hesitant. "I need your insight. Have you noticed anything unusual in our circles lately?" Simon chuckled darkly. "Unusual? Like your clients dropping you like a bad habit?" "Yeah, I've noticed. Word on the street is someone's been digging up dirt on everyone you've worked with." Elliot's stomach tightened. "And you didn't think to tell me?" Simon's tone turned cold. "Why would I? You've burned enough bridges, Elliot. Whatever's happening to you, maybe you deserve it." The call ended, leaving Elliot staring at his phone in silence. Simon's words stung, but more than that, they confirmed his growing suspicion. Someone was dismantling his life from the shadows. The chessboard expands. Vivian's next move was bolder. She began targeting the people closest to Anthony, those who enabled his lifestyle and shielded him from accountability. She reached out to former employees, promising anonymity in exchange for their stories. Many were eager to talk, providing damning insights into Anthony's corruption. One particular revelation stood out: a clandestine offshore account tied to both Anthony and several high-profile criminal cases. Vivian didn't just leak this information. She ensured it landed in the hands of law enforcement. The fallout was immediate. Federal agents raided one of Anthony's properties, seizing documents and electronics. The news sent shockwaves through the media, and Anthony's once impenetrable facade began to crumble. Elliot watched the coverage in stunned silence. Vivian was no longer just a grieving sister seeking revenge. She was a strategist, dismantling her enemies piece by piece. Confrontation in the dark. That night, Elliot couldn't sleep. The walls of his penthouse, usually a sanctuary, felt like a cage. He poured himself a drink and sat by the window, staring at the city lights. A knock at the door shattered the silence. Elliot frowned. Visitors were rare, especially unannounced ones. He approached cautiously, his heart pounding as he opened the door. Vivian stood there, her expression unreadable. She held up a folder thick with papers. "Mind if I come in?" she asked, her tone deceptively polite. Elliot hesitated but stepped aside. Vivian entered, her eyes scanning the room with quiet curiosity. "What's this?" Elliot asked, gesturing to the folder. Vivian placed it on the coffee table and opened it, revealing photographs, emails, and financial records. "This," she said, "is your client's life falling apart." Elliot's gaze flicked over the documents. They were damning, but more than that, they were a testament to Vivian's thoroughness. She had uncovered not just Anthony's crimes but the methods Elliot had used to shield him. "You're good," Elliot admitted, his voice low. "Better than I expected." Vivian's eyes narrowed. "I had a good teacher. You've been teaching me how to manipulate since the trial. I've just been paying attention." Elliot smirked, though the gesture lacked conviction. "And what do you want?" "Revenge." Vivian leaned forward, her voice sharp as a knife. "I want justice. And if that means tearing down everything you've built, so be it." Elliot studied her, weighing his options. Vivian was dangerous, but she wasn't invincible. If she wanted a war, he would give her one. As Vivian left, Elliot sat alone, his mind racing. She had played her hand, but the game was far from over. He still had resources, allies, and most importantly, his gift. Vivian had forced him to react, but now it was his turn to take control. The puppet master wasn't finished yet. The stakes were rising, the game growing more dangerous with every move. But as the lines blurred between justice and revenge, one question remained. Who would emerge as the true master of manipulation? Chapter 6. The trap is set. The tension between Elliot Grayson and Vivian Stroud had reached a breaking point. Each move they made was a calculated step in an intricate dance of manipulation. Vivian had proven she was no longer just a grieving sister but a formidable adversary capable of dismantling Elliot's empire. Yet Elliot was not a man to go down without a fight. As the game intensified, it became clear that both were willing to risk everything to outmaneuver the other. The plan. Elliot spent the days following Vivian's visit constructing his counterattack. She had exposed his vulnerabilities, but in doing so she had revealed hers. He pored over the documents she had shown him, not to find weaknesses in Anthony's defenses, but to uncover patterns in her strategy. Vivian's tactics were bold but precise, relying on a network of informants and anonymous tips. Elliot knew that such a network required trust, and trust could be exploited. If he could manipulate her allies, he could dismantle her foundation. His first move was subtle. He hired private investigators to infiltrate her circle, posing as whistleblowers with additional dirt on Anthony Marshall. Elliot made sure these whistleblowers fed Vivian information that was plausible but carefully engineered to lead her into a trap. Vivian's next move. Vivian, unaware of Elliot's ploy, believed she was closing in on a decisive victory. The new information she received confirmed suspicions she had about Anthony's offshore dealings. The whistleblowers even hinted at a secret meeting Anthony planned with powerful figures tied to his criminal network. Vivian didn't hesitate. She forwarded the intel to her contact in law enforcement, urging them to act swiftly. She also prepared her own plan to expose Elliot's involvement. With Anthony cornered, she believed it was only a matter of time before Elliot's name surfaced in the chaos. What Vivian didn't know was that Elliot had orchestrated every detail of the secret meeting. The location, the participants, even the timing, all were part of his design. The trap springs. The raid on the secret meeting unfolded exactly as Elliot had planned. Federal agents stormed the location, finding stacks of forged documents, fake cash, and staged evidence implicating Anthony in new crimes. The media quickly picked up the story, painting it as a breakthrough in the case against Anthony Marshall. But as the investigation continued, cracks in the story began to show. The evidence, while damning on the surface, didn't hold up under scrutiny. Vivian's credibility took a hit when it was revealed that much of the intel she had provided was unreliable. The whistleblowers she had trusted disappeared without a trace, leaving her to bear the brunt of the backlash. Elliot watched the fallout unfold with satisfaction. He had turned Vivian's strength, her ability to manipulate information, into her greatest weakness. The cost of victory. For Elliot, the victory was bittersweet. While he had neutralized Vivian's immediate threat, the ordeal had left him exposed. The trap had been a gamble, one that required him to burn several of his own bridges to ensure its success. Some of his remaining clients began to distance themselves, wary of the growing controversy surrounding him. Anthony, meanwhile, was livid. The raid had been a public spectacle, and while he had avoided direct consequences, the scrutiny was suffocating. He confronted Elliot in his penthouse, his anger barely contained. "You think this was a win?" Anthony snarled. "You've painted a target on my back. Everyone's watching me now." Elliot remained calm, his voice icy. "You're still free, aren't you? That's what you paid me for." Anthony's jaw tightened, but he said nothing. Instead, he turned and stormed out, slamming the door behind him. Vivian regroups. Vivian sat in her apartment, the weight of her failure pressing down on her. She had been so close, yet Elliot had outmaneuvered her at every turn. The humiliation of the raid and the loss of credibility with her law enforcement contacts stung, but it was the realization that Elliot had played her so thoroughly that hurt the most. But Vivian wasn't defeated. She had learned from her mistakes and she was determined not to repeat them. If Elliot wanted a war, she would give him one, on her terms. She began reaching out to the people Elliot had discarded over the years. Former allies, estranged clients, and anyone else who had reason to resent him. She didn't need to manipulate them. Their anger and betrayal made them willing participants in her plan. A shifting battlefield. Elliot sensed the shift almost immediately. Vivian's new strategy wasn't about precision. It was about volume. Anonymous leaks, rumors, and scandals began circulating, each one chipping away at Elliot's reputation. It wasn't just his professional life that was under attack. His personal life was dragged into the fray as well. The once unshakable Elliot Grayson found himself on the defensive, fighting to maintain the control he had always taken for granted. The battlefield had changed, and for the first time he was unsure of his footing. The new game begins. The next time Elliot and Vivian crossed paths, it was by design. Elliot orchestrated a chance meeting at a high-profile charity gala, a public setting where neither could afford to make a scene. Dressed in their finest, they looked more like sparring partners in a grand duel than enemies locked in a life-and-death struggle. "You've been busy," Elliot said, his tone light but edged with menace. Vivian smiled, raising her glass in a mock toast. "Just returning the favor. You taught me well." They exchanged pleasantries, each word a veiled threat. Around them, the glittering crowd remained oblivious to the battle being waged in whispers. As the night wore on, it became clear to both of them that the game had entered a new phase. The stakes were higher, the moves more dangerous, and the lines between hunter and prey more blurred than ever. The trap had been set, but neither Elliot nor Vivian realized they were both caught in it. As their battle escalated, one question loomed larger than ever. How far were they willing to go to win? Chapter 7. Justice on a Razor's Edge. The city buzzed with rumors, its power players whispering about the escalating war between Elliot Grayson and Vivian Stroud. Their battle had become the unspoken drama of the legal and criminal underworld, a clash of master manipulators playing a high-stakes game that few could comprehend. The tension simmered beneath the surface of their lives, threatening to boil over at any moment. A public humiliation. Elliot's morning began with an unwelcome surprise. A tabloid headline plastered across newsstands screamed, "Master of Deception, the shadowy world of Elliot Grayson." The article was a scathing exposé of his methods, detailing how he influenced juries and exploited his clients' vulnerabilities. It even hinted at his role in Anthony Marshall's acquittal, painting him as a puppet master with no moral compass. Vivian had struck again. Elliot read the article carefully, noting the sources. The details were too precise to be guesswork. Someone in his inner circle had betrayed him. He slammed the paper down and grabbed his phone, dialing a trusted associate. "I want names," he growled. "Find out who leaked this." The betrayal stung, but it also reignited his resolve. Vivian was pushing harder, and Elliot knew it was time to push back. Vivian's coalition. Vivian had been working tirelessly, assembling a coalition of Elliot's former clients, betrayed allies, and even individuals who had been harmed indirectly by his manipulations. Each person brought a piece of the puzzle, helping Vivian construct a picture of Elliot's empire and its weaknesses. Her most valuable recruit was Simon Drake, Elliot's estranged former ally. Simon knew Elliot's playbook inside and out, and he was eager to see the man brought down. "He's predictable in one way," Simon told Vivian during a late-night strategy session. "Elliot thrives on control. If you take that away, you take away his power." Vivian nodded, her determination growing. then we'll strip him of control piece by piece. A fractured alliance. Anthony Marshall, meanwhile, was unraveling under the pressure of the public scrutiny Vivian had orchestrated. The raid, the media frenzy, and now whispers of investigations into his offshore accounts had pushed him to the edge. He demanded a meeting with Elliot, who reluctantly agreed. They met in a dimly lit private club, where Anthony's anger exploded. "This is your fault," Anthony hissed, slamming his fist on the table. "I paid you to protect me, not make me a target." Elliot remained calm, sipping his drink. "You're alive and free, aren't you? My job isn't to make you likable, Anthony. It's to keep you out of prison." Anthony leaned in, his voice low and venomous. "Maybe it's time I found someone else to handle my affairs. Someone who doesn't attract this kind of attention." Elliot's eyes narrowed. "You won't find anyone better than me. But if you want to go, go. Just remember, without me, you're vulnerable." Anthony left without another word, but Elliot felt the fracture in their alliance. It was only a matter of time before Anthony's paranoia drove him to do something reckless. The courtroom ambush. Vivian's next move was her boldest yet. She orchestrated a legal maneuver designed to force Elliot into the spotlight. Using the evidence she had gathered, she worked with law enforcement to initiate a case against Anthony Marshall, alleging financial crimes and corruption. What Elliot didn't anticipate was the subpoena. Vivian had found a way to link him to Anthony's dealings, forcing him to appear in court as a witness. It was a calculated risk. Elliot's presence in court would bring media attention and potentially expose him further. Elliot walked into the courtroom knowing the stakes. The atmosphere was electric, the gallery packed with reporters and onlookers eager to see the infamous manipulator under scrutiny. Vivian was there, sitting quietly in the back, her gaze fixed on Elliot. He met her eyes for a brief moment, his expression unreadable. The prosecutor's questioning was sharp, designed to corner Elliot. They presented emails, financial records, and witness testimony that painted a damning picture of his involvement with Anthony. But Elliot was a master of his craft. He deflected the questions with precision, weaving a narrative that cast doubt on the evidence. He turned the prosecutor's words back on them, subtly undermining their credibility. By the end of his testimony, the courtroom was divided. Some saw him as a slick operator escaping justice. Others admired his ability to maintain composure under pressure. Vivian, however, saw through the performance. She knew this was a temporary reprieve for Elliot, and she wasn't done yet. A dangerous escalation. That night, Elliot returned to his penthouse, drained but triumphant. He poured himself a drink, savoring the brief moment of calm. Then his phone buzzed with a new message. It was a photo of his building taken from the street below. The accompanying text read, "You're running out of places to hide." Elliot's blood ran cold. This wasn't just Vivian's work. It was something more sinister. She had stirred forces beyond her control, and now they were coming for both of them. Vivian's realization. Vivian sat in her apartment reviewing the day's events. She should have felt victorious. Her legal ambush had forced Elliot into the public eye, and the media frenzy was relentless. But something didn't sit right. The message she had sent to Elliot about running out of places to hide had been part of her strategy, but she hadn't sent the photo. Someone else had. Her phone buzzed with a message of her own. It was a photo of her apartment building, accompanied by the words, "You're not untouchable either." Vivian's breath caught. The war she had started was no longer just between her and Elliot. There were new players on the board, and their motives were far darker. A new player emerges. In the shadows of their escalating battle, a third party had been watching, waiting for the right moment to strike. Anthony Marshall, desperate to protect himself, had hired his own team of manipulators and enforcers to eliminate his problems, Elliot and Vivian. The game had changed. What began as a battle of wits between two brilliant minds was now a fight for survival against forces they couldn't control. The razor's edge of justice had become a precipice. Elliot and Vivian, once adversaries, would soon find themselves caught in a deadly web where trust was impossible, and the stakes were life or death. Chapter 8. The Dangerous Game. The city seemed darker than usual, its familiar glow dimmed by the shadows of escalating tension. Vivian and Elliot, adversaries locked in a battle of manipulation, were no longer the only players in their deadly game. The emergence of Anthony Marshall's hired enforcers had shifted the stakes, forcing both of them to rethink their strategies and their survival. Elliot's warning. Elliot sat in his penthouse, his mind racing as he pieced together the events of the past few days. The photograph of his building, the veiled threats. They weren't Vivian's style. She was methodical, strategic. This new element was something else entirely, something dangerous. He picked up his phone and dialed a number he hadn't used in years. A gravelly voice answered on the second ring. "Grayson," the voice said. "Didn't think I'd hear from you again." "Things have changed, Robert," Elliot replied. "I need information." Discreetly. Robert, a former private investigator with a knack for uncovering hidden threats, listened as Elliot described the situation. When Elliot mentioned Anthony Marshall's involvement, Robert's tone grew serious. "You've got a problem," Robert said. "If Anthony's desperate enough to hire muscle, they won't just intimidate you. They'll eliminate you." Elliot leaned back in his chair, the weight of the words settling over him. "Then find out who they are. And quickly." Vivian's realization. Across town, Vivian sat in her dimly lit apartment, her laptop open to a map of Elliot's known associates. She was preparing her next move when her phone buzzed. Another message. Another photo. This time it was of her parked car, taken from just a few feet away. Her heart skipped a beat. She knew Elliot was clever, but this felt different. Menacing. She hadn't expected him to resort to overt threats. Her instincts told her to confront him directly, but as she studied the photo again, something clicked. Elliot wasn't the type to reveal his hand so blatantly. This was someone else. Someone who wanted both of them silenced. Vivian's thoughts turned to Anthony. If he was behind this escalation, it meant she and Elliot had a common enemy. The idea of working with Elliot disgusted her, but survival trumped pride. The uneasy alliance. Elliot wasn't surprised when Vivian showed up unannounced at his penthouse. She was a storm waiting to be unleashed, her eyes blazing with fury and determination. "You've crossed a line, Grayson," she said, stepping inside without waiting for an invitation. "Sending people to threaten me? That's beneath even you." Elliot arched an eyebrow, pouring himself a drink. "As flattering as it is to think I have the time to stalk you, that wasn't me." Vivian hesitated, caught off guard by his calm denial. "Then who?" Elliot gestured for her to sit, his tone turning serious. "Anthony Marshall. He's tying up loose ends, and unfortunately for both of us, we're the biggest ones." Vivian folded her arms, remaining standing. "So what? You expect me to trust you now?" Elliot smirked. "Trust is irrelevant. What matters is that we both want the same thing. Anthony out of the picture. Alone, neither of us stands a chance. Together, we might have a shot." She studied him, weighing her options. As much as she hated to admit it, he was right. Anthony's resources were vast, and his willingness to kill made him a far more dangerous adversary than Elliot had ever been. "Fine," she said finally. "But the moment this is over, we go back to destroying each other." Elliot raised his glass in a mock toast. "Looking forward to it. Setting the trap." The first step of their uneasy alliance was to identify Anthony's hired enforcers. Elliot's contact, Robert, provided the intel they needed. A small but deadly group specializing in covert eliminations. Their leader, a man known only as Kane, had a reputation for making problems disappear, permanently. "We need to draw them out," Vivian said as she studied the dossier Robert had compiled. "Make Anthony believe we're vulnerable, then use that to get to him." Elliot nodded. "Agreed. But it has to be convincing. If they suspect a trap, they'll disappear and we'll never get another chance." The plan they devised was risky but necessary. Vivian would leak false information about Elliot preparing to testify against Anthony, a move guaranteed to provoke a reaction. Meanwhile, Elliot would spread rumors about Vivian having damning evidence against Anthony's financial empire. Together, the bait would force Anthony's hand. The ambush. The trap was set and the wait was agonizing. Both Elliot and Vivian knew they were walking a razor's edge. One misstep could cost them their lives. The meeting point was a derelict warehouse on the city's outskirts, chosen for its isolation. Elliot arrived first, his nerves tightly wound. He positioned himself in the shadows, ensuring a clear view of the entrance. Vivian arrived moments later, her expression grim but focused. She didn't speak as she took her position, her hand hovering near the concealed weapon she had brought for protection. Minutes stretched into hours before the sound of approaching vehicles shattered the silence. Black SUVs pulled up, their tinted windows hiding the occupants. The doors opened and Kane stepped out, flanked by heavily armed men. Elliot's heart raced as Kane barked orders, his men spreading out to secure the area. Vivian caught his eye, a silent signal passing between them. The time to act was now. The tables turn. Elliot and Vivian's plan unfolded with precision. Vivian, feigning fear, stepped out into the open, drawing Kane's attention. She held up a flash drive, her voice steady despite the tension. "This is what you're here for," she said. "Proof that Anthony's been funneling money into offshore accounts." Kane approached, his cold eyes narrowing. "And why should I believe you're not lying?" Vivian shrugged. "You don't have to. But if you kill me, you'll never know what's on it." While Kane was distracted, Elliot moved into position, using the shadows to his advantage. He signaled to the team of operatives he had hired, a group of former law enforcement agents who owed him favors. They moved swiftly, neutralizing Kane's men with practiced efficiency. The warehouse erupted into chaos as Kane realized the trap. He lunged for Vivian, but she was ready, her concealed weapon aimed directly at him. "Don't move," she said, her voice firm. "This ends here." A fragile victory. Kane and his men were subdued, their weapons confiscated. Elliot emerged from the shadows, his expression a mix of relief and triumph. "We make a good team," he said, smirking at Vivian. "Don't push your luck," she replied, lowering her weapon. But the victory was bittersweet. Anthony Marshall was still out there, and both Elliot and Vivian knew their alliance was temporary. The battle was far from over, and the stakes had never been higher. As the dust settled in the warehouse, Elliot and Vivian prepared for the next phase of their dangerous game. They had survived the ambush, but survival came with a price, and the war against Anthony Marshall was far from won. Chapter 9, The Final Trial. The warehouse ambush had shifted the balance of power, but it had also escalated the stakes to a life-or-death game. Elliot Grayson and Vivian Stroud, reluctant allies, were forced to acknowledge the full scope of Anthony Marshall's reach. Their temporary truce had bought them time, but they knew Anthony wouldn't back down. He was a cornered predator, and cornered predators were the most dangerous. Anthony's desperation. Anthony Marshall sat in his lavish mansion, the once grand space now feeling like a gilded cage. His world was unraveling. The raid, the media scrutiny, and now the loss of his enforcers had left him vulnerable. He downed a glass of whiskey and slammed it onto the table, his mind racing. He picked up the phone and dialed Kane, but the call went straight to voicemail. His enforcers were gone and his options were dwindling. There was only one way out of this mess. He needed to eliminate both Elliot and Vivian before they could finish what they had started. Anthony made a call to a trusted ally in the legal world, a corrupt prosecutor who owed him favors. If he couldn't silence Elliot and Vivian directly, he would weaponize the law against them. The courtroom showdown. The next morning, Elliot received an unexpected summons to appear in court. Vivian got the same notice. The charge: conspiracy to undermine a federal investigation. Anthony's ally in the prosecutor's office had manipulated the system, framing Elliot and Vivian as co-conspirators in a fictitious scheme to obstruct justice. Elliot sat in his penthouse, reading the summons with a grim expression. He knew this was Anthony's doing. It was a bold move, but also a desperate one. Anthony was using the legal system as his weapon, turning the spotlight away from his own crimes. When Elliot and Vivian met at the courthouse steps, their shared frustration was palpable. "This is his play," Vivian said, holding up her summons. "He's trying to discredit us before we can bring him down." Elliot nodded, his jaw clenched. "He's panicking. That's the good news. The bad news is he's using the system to bury us." "Then we fight back," Vivian said. "Together." The case unfolds. The trial was a spectacle. Reporters packed the courtroom, eager to see the infamous Elliot Grayson and the determined Vivian Stroud face charges. Anthony's prosecutor spun a compelling narrative, painting Elliot and Vivian as puppeteers who had manipulated evidence and witnesses to frame Anthony. Elliot watched the jury carefully, analyzing their expressions and body language. This was his arena, his domain. But unlike his previous manipulations, this time he was fighting for his life. Vivian took the stand first. The prosecutor attempted to discredit her, pointing to her personal vendetta against Anthony as evidence of bias. But Vivian held her ground, her testimony sharp and precise. She turned the prosecutor's questions against him, planting seeds of doubt in the jury's minds. When Elliot took the stand, he played a different game. He didn't deny his reputation or his methods. Instead, he leaned into them. "Yes," he admitted, "I've influenced cases before. I've shaped narratives. But I've never obstructed justice. What I've done is uncover truths others wanted to keep hidden." The jury's expressions shifted. Some nodded, others furrowed their brows in thought. Elliot had turned his own reputation into a weapon, using it to frame himself as a truth-seeker rather than a manipulator. The revelation. The turning point came when Vivian produced her trump card. Over the past few weeks, she had been working quietly to uncover a key piece of evidence. A recording of Anthony discussing the fabricated charges with the corrupt prosecutor. The recording was damning. In it, Anthony's voice was clear as he outlined his plan to frame Elliot and Vivian, ensuring they couldn't expose his crimes. The courtroom erupted. The prosecutor scrambled to dismiss the recording as inadmissible, but the damage was done. The jury had heard it and the narrative had shifted irreversibly. The verdict. When the jury returned with their verdict, the atmosphere in the courtroom was electric. The foreperson stood, her voice steady. "We find the defendants, Elliot Grayson and Vivian Stroud, not guilty." Vivian exhaled sharply, relief washing over her. Elliot remained stoic, though a flicker of satisfaction crossed his face. They had won the battle, but the war with Anthony wasn't over. The fall of Anthony Marshall. With the trial behind them, Elliot and Vivian turned their attention to Anthony. The recording had not only exonerated them but also implicated Anthony in a criminal conspiracy. Federal agents raided his mansion, this time armed with enough evidence to ensure his arrest. The news broke the next morning. Anthony Marshall arrested on charges of corruption, conspiracy, and financial crimes. The once untouchable businessman was finally facing justice. A fragile victory. Elliot and Vivian met one last time, this time in a quiet cafe far from the chaos of the courthouse. "So," Vivian said, sipping her coffee. "What happens now?" Elliot leaned back in his chair, his expression unreadable. "Now we go back to what we were. Adversaries." Vivian smirked. "Good. I was starting to get used to working with you. Wouldn't want that." Elliot chuckled softly, a rare moment of levity. "Careful, Vivian. You're starting to sound like me." She stood, throwing a few bills on the table. "Take care, Elliot. And don't forget, I'm still watching you." As she walked away, Elliot watched her go, a strange mix of admiration and unease in his gaze. The game between them wasn't over, but for now, there was peace. Justice had been served, but in the world of manipulation, trust was a fleeting concept. Elliot and Vivian had survived their trial, but their lives would never be the same. The dangerous game they played had no clear winners. Only survivors. Chapter 10. The Price of Deception. The fall of Anthony Marshall reverberated through the city like an earthquake. The man who once seemed untouchable now faced a mountain of charges that would likely keep him behind bars for the rest of his life. For Elliot Grayson and Vivian Stroud, the victory was bittersweet. They had fought the battle together, but their war wasn't over. Not with each other and certainly not with themselves. The fallout. Elliot sat in his penthouse, nursing a glass of bourbon. The victory over Anthony should have felt like a triumph, but it left him hollow. His reputation was in tatters and his once loyal clients had abandoned him. For the first time in years, Elliot was without power, without influence. He had spent his life building an empire of control and now it was crumbling around him. He glanced at the stack of documents on his desk, the remnants of his former empire. Vivian's handiwork had been devastatingly effective. She had turned his clients, his contacts, even his allies against him. Yet, despite her victories, Elliot couldn't bring himself to hate her. She had proven herself his equal, and in some twisted way, he respected her for it. Vivian's reckoning. Vivian, too, felt the weight of their victory. Sitting in her brother's old apartment, she stared at the photo of them together, taken on a sunny day before everything fell apart. She had avenged him, but the cost had been steep. The war with Elliot and Anthony had consumed her, turning her into someone she barely recognized. Her phone buzzed and she glanced at the screen. It was a message from one of the whistleblowers she had worked with during the case. It was a thank you note expressing gratitude for her efforts to expose Anthony's crimes. Vivian smiled faintly, but it didn't erase the ache in her chest. Her brother would never see the justice she had fought so hard to achieve. And despite her alliance with Elliot, she knew their truce was temporary. She had won the battle, but the war for her soul was far from over. Final meeting. Elliot and Vivian met one last time in a quiet park on the outskirts of the city. The tension between them was palpable, though tempered by the shared knowledge of what they had survived together. "Still standing, I see," Vivian said, leaning against a tree. Elliot smirked, though it didn't reach his eyes. "Barely. You've made sure of that." "Don't act like a victim," Vivian replied sharply. "You've ruined more lives than I can count." "And yet," Elliot said, stepping closer, "you still needed me to take Anthony down. What does that say about you?" Vivian's jaw tightened, but she didn't respond. Instead, she looked out at the city skyline, the weight of their shared history hanging heavy in the air. "I could have destroyed you," she said quietly. "But I didn't. Remember that." Elliot nodded, his expression unreadable. "And I could have walked away. But I didn't." For a moment, they stood in silence, two adversaries who had somehow become reluctant allies. The lines between right and wrong, good and evil, blurred beyond recognition. A new chapter. Vivian walked away first, leaving Elliot alone in the park. He watched her go, a strange sense of finality settling over him. Their battle had defined him, challenged him, and ultimately changed him. He wasn't sure if he could rebuild his life, but he knew one thing for certain. The Elliot Grayson who had started this war was gone. Vivian returned to her brother's apartment, feeling the same sense of change. She had become someone her brother might not recognize, but she had also found strength she didn't know she possessed. Her war with Elliot had taught her how to survive in a world that didn't play fair. The legacy of manipulation. Elliot's and Vivian's paths diverged, but their story was far from over. Elliot began working quietly in the shadows, using his skills in new ways, no longer for power but for survival. Vivian, meanwhile, turned her attention to other injustices, channeling her pain into a relentless pursuit of justice. Both of them carried the scars of their battle, reminders of the dangerous game they had played. They were two sides of the same coin, bound together by their shared understanding of the skillful art of manipulation. And as they moved forward, one question lingered in their minds. Had they truly won, or had the price of deception been too high? The dangerous game had ended, but its players were forever changed. In a world where manipulation was the ultimate weapon, there were no true winners, only survivors.